This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome everybody to a Juz a Day. Today we are covering the 24th Juz of the Quran. 24 Juz of the Quran is the one that begins with Surah Az-Zumur, ayah number 32, that's Surah number 39, then Surah Ghafir, Surah 40, and Surah Fussilat, Surah 41. This is the Juz where we get introduced to the Hamims. Okay, the Hamims are seven surahs in a row that begin with the letters Hamim, and there is a lot of similarities between them, which we will speak about inshallah once we get to that point. But this is the juz where they start, and then the next juz, the 25th juz, is when they will conclude. Surah Zumar is the surah that we left off at yesterday, just at the end of Surah Sa'd, and we didn't start Surah Zumar because we wanted to keep the surah intact and together. So today we will start from Surah Zumar inshallah ta'ala, which is in the last part of the previous juz, and then we'll work our way through to the next juz inshallah ta'ala. What is the theme of Surah Zumar? I want you to notice the word sincerity. Mukhlisan, mukhlisina, mukhlis. From the word ikhlas, from the etymology of khalasa, khalis, something that's pure. Ikhlas is you're doing something purely for the sake of Allah. And that is what the religion is about. And the religion in its entirety, in its core, is to be devoted to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remove any desire of praise, any desire from adoration from other people for our actions that are religious. Okay, you can have a desire, obviously a natural desire for being praised, for things that you do, a desire to be thanked by people. Those are all natural things. No one is denying that. But this is specifically about worshiping. Completely remove anybody else from worship. That's obviously shirk. And then completely remove the desire for acknowledgement, for praise, for your worship from anyone. Only Allah is the one who we want our worship to be for, and only His acceptance is what we crave and what we desire. The surah begins with the Quran, with Allah SWT saying, "Tanzeel al-kitab min Allahil Azizil Hakim." This book is sent down by God, the Mighty, the Wise. "Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haqqi fa'budillaha mukhlishan lahu ad-din." It is we who sent the book down to you, O Prophet ﷺ, with the truth. So worship God with your total devotion. Mukhlisan lahuddin. And that is, as you will notice, again and again, this will come in this surah. Ala lillahi ad-dinul khalis. And again, khalis from the same root. It is to God alone that sincere obedience is due. To nobody else is that sincere obedience due. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship and the only one who you should be focusing on pleasing, nobody else, particularly when it comes to your acts of worship, when it comes to trying to attain salvation, right? Only Allah is the one who should be pleased. And that's why Allah lillahi dinu al-khalis, sincere obedience in the faith and religion. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. And those who take guardians besides him, other types of deities, other people, maybe even a prophet, they take him as a savior. Well, then they say, "Mana'buduhum illa liyuqarribuna ila Allahi zulfa." We serve them only that they may bring us nearer to God. Surely God will, or you know, they say, "Oh, this is God's manifestation on earth." Well, surely God will judge between them concerning what they differ. God does not guide those who are bent on lying. Those who are bent on lying. Excuse me. Anyone who is bent on lying and is a disbelieving liar. Inna Allah la yahdi man huwa kadhibun kaffar. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out why he's saying lying twice here. I don't know why he says that in the translation. Inna Allah la yahdi man huwa kadhibun. Kadhib is a liar. Kaffar is somebody who is a a rejecter of the truth, right? A disbeliever, but this disbeliever in the sense of rejecting the truth and vehemently rejecting the truth, okay? So that is the two characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide someone if you are lying about, if your life is a lie, or you are vehemently rejecting the truth. That is not going to bode well for attaining guidance. If Allah wanted, He could have had a son of anybody in His creation. That was not, it's not inconceivable, right? But that is, not befitting to Allah. Subhanahu. He is, glory be to Him. He is above such things. This is lowly. This is for the people. This is for the creation. This is for the people who are limited. This is for, this is unbecoming for God to have a piece of Him enter the world through the womb of a woman, right? This is just abhorrent, actually. He is the one God. He is the omnipotent, the one who is dominant. Okay, He is the one who created the heavens and the earth for a true purpose. Bilhaq, it has a purpose. It's not useless and meaningless. All of this is not also by chance. It came from design from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yukawwiru layla ala nahar. And here's an example. He causes the night to succeed the day. Wa yukawwiru nahara ala layl. And He causes the day to succeed the night. And wasakhara shamsa wal qamar. He subjected the sun and moon, so they run their course to a appointed time. Meaning even they, the sun and the moon, and all the creation of Allah has a time when it will cease to exist. And that's the day of judgment. Just like human beings, we all eventually cease to exist. The entire universe will too, and the entire cosmos will too. And that is Allah huwa al-azizul ghaffar, truly He's mighty and forgiving. Interesting note about this part of the ayah, yukawwiru layla ala nahar, wa yukawwiru nahara ala layl. He translates it as that causes the night to succeed the day. That's a okay translation. But yukawwir, kawwara, yukawwiru is to wrap a turban around your head. That's the image of takweer. Okay, from the word kura. Kura is a ball. Okay, it's like if you wrap a turban around your head, that process of wrapping a turban, that is takweer. Okay, and that is how Allah is describing the night and the day. That's very interesting because it's like the night and the day. The way it's described is that it's highlighting that the earth is, like a ball, takweef, for you to wrap a turban around someone's head. The head has to be round, right? You can't have like a flat head or something. Okay, your head is round. It's shaped in that manner, right? And so that is something that the ayah actually alludes to, that the earth is round. And that's something actually the scholars of Islam have said from the time of the Sahaba, that this is like a consensus, that all heavenly celestial bodies are round. And this is ayah, for example, is one of the evidences for that. An interesting interesting point I wanted to share with you about that, the linguistics of it. Okay. In takfuru fa inna Allah ghaniyun ankum. If you are ungrateful, remember that God has no need of you. This is important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of our gratitude. We are in need of being grateful to Allah. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. He's not pleased by ingratitude in His servants. Okay, it's not like Allah is condoning that behavior, but He's telling us, if you are ungrateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of your gratitude. But if you are grateful, وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. He is pleased to see it in you. And as we see in other ayat of Quran, إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're thankful and grateful, Allah will give you even more. وَلَا تَزِرُوا وَأَزِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul shall bear another's burden. You will return to your Lord at the end, and He will declare to you what you have done. He knows well what's in the hearts of mankind. The accountability is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entirely. And we cannot blame others if we are in a situation where we are compromised. Our choices compromised us, we cannot blame society for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to accept that. Okay. An interesting example of the fickle nature of human beings is mentioned here. Okay. Which is when man suffers, some affliction, he prays to his Lord and turns to him in penitence. But once he has been granted a favor from God, he forgets the one he had been praying to and sets up rivals to God to make others stray from his path. This is the idea of ingratitude. This is the ingratitude Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting in human nature quite frequently. That when they are in trouble, they turn to God. Oh God, help me. But when trouble has passed them, you know, they forget about God. And even go to the extent of having idols and having other deities that they devote themselves to. And even credit for getting them out of trouble. Okay, this is unfortunately the nature of humans. And Allah says that is something to be watchful of. Contrast that with the believer. Allah says, this person in the ayah before is not like the one who is qanitun, prays devoutly to God in the hours of night, prostrating himself, standing in prayer, who is ever mindful of the life to come and hopes of the mercy of his Lord. Yarju rahmata rabbihi. He is, look at this beautiful description, praying at night, that shows true devotion, okay? True devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he is not just praying at night, he is, praying extended periods of time. Sajidan wa qa'ima. He's prostrating and standing. That shows that this is a involved, lengthy prayer. Then it shows he is the state of his heart. Yahdharu al-akhirah. He's afraid of the punishment of the life to come. But he also, yarju rahmata rabbihi, he is hopeful in the mercy of his Lord. Subhanallah, what a beautiful description, right? This is a person who is in this perfect balance of hope and fear, and expressing that through his dedicated worship. Allah says, this person is not like the one who was before, who's fickle, who forgets, who's ungrateful. This is a grateful person, and this is the kind of person Allah will reward immensely. He says, equal to those who do not know. Here Allah is equating knowledge with action. If you know, that means you must be doing. Because if you are not doing after knowing, then that is, a problematic thing. Maybe there's some growth required. Maybe you're not, doesn't mean you're a hypocrite or something. It's a opportunity or a place to grow. But the fulfillment of knowledge, when you have fully attained and reached the pinnacle of your spirituality, that is when you're able to put your knowledge into action. Innama yatadhakkaru ulul albab. Truly only those who are endowed with understanding will take heed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a very important ayah, my servants who have believed, fear God and your Lord. For those who do good in this world will have a good reward. And God's earth is spacious. Ardullahi wasi'a. You can worship Allah wherever you find peace and tranquility. Innama yuwaffas sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. Very important. Those who preserve patiently will be requited without measure. Will their payment will be without account, without measure. They will get unlimited ajr for their patience. When they're bearing a difficulty with patience, whether they are navigating a difficult circumstance with patience, whether it is an illness that they're navigating with patience, and they're not saying anything inappropriate, they're controlling their emotions, they're asking Allah's forgiveness and for his help. That is a person, every moment that they are patient, they're in worship. Like, it's like a salah that they're praying, right? Every moment of their lives could be an act of worship. So their reward is like unlimited in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of those. Again, notice, mukhlisan lahuddin, dedicated my worshiping only to Allah. Okay, when the Prophet says, I am commanded to be the first of those who submit, he's talking about his time. Okay, and then he said, قُلِ اللَّهَ أَعْبُدُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِي. Again, sincere. I only want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Okay, after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about ayah number 29. Sorry, where is it? My bad. Ayah number 23, excuse me. Okay. he speaks about the beautiful nature of the Quran on the next page. Okay, Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadithi kitaban mutashabihan mathaniya taqsha'irru minhu juludul ladina yakhshawna rabbahum. Okay, this devotion, sincere devotion to Allah, what does it look like? This the image of the person praying with fear and hope. But here is an example of that that is absolutely amazing as well. The Quran screen, it's, I think, expanded, right? I don't think is there a problem with that? Can you see the screen fully or what? Sorry, let me try to figure this out here. Host view, yeah, I think should be full screen, right? My thing should be on the side. Can somebody else confirm for me? Because it seems like the setting I have, the screen should be full. Maybe I have active speaker view. I think active speaker. Yes, you're on the side. Okay. Okay. Let me. Now it is small. Okay. Now it should be full. Yes. Okay, is it full now? It's not. Okay. Active speaker. I think we have some issues with the screen sharing. All right. Can you see the screen fully now? Yes. Okay. Alhamdulillah. I'll tell you what I see in my preview, okay? Look, this is what I see in my preview, okay? I see the whole screen and me in the corner. Clearly, that's not what you're all seeing, but that's okay. All right, inshallah. Tayyib, thank you very much for highlighting it. Jazakumullah khairan. Let's continue, inshallah. What was I saying? Yes, I was saying about the true devotion. Like, what does that look like? Devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that look like? This is what it looks like. Allah has sent down the best message, a scripture that is co-similar and oft-repeated. Kitaba mutashabihan. Mathani, this idea of mutashabihan is that the ayat, they reinforce each other. The stories reinforce each other, and that's the idea of them being mutashabihan. Mathani, they're often recited, and that's a beautiful thing about the Quran. It's recited frequently. That's the relationship that the believer has with the Quran. تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ understanding the Quran and reading it and pondering it, it causes the skins of those in awe of their Lord to creep. Okay? It makes the hair on their skin stand up out of fear. But then, ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then their skins and their hearts soften at the mention of God. That combination of fear of Allah's punishment and understanding this is a reality, and then the combination, or combine that with Allah is the most loving, the most caring, the most merciful, the most kind. And that brings about that amazing combination of fear of Allah's punishment and hope in Allah's mercy, which triumphs his punishment. And that's why there, as you notice, there, the expression means that it says that their skins causes the skins to feel the pain or feel the fear, but then the skins and hearts soften out of the mercy of Allah at the mention of Allah, right? Very nice. Such is God's guidance. He bestows it upon whoever he wills, but no one can guide the one who has been who Allah leads astray. وَمَا يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. So this is an important idea. This is what devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like when it comes to being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being dedicated only to Him. Okay. The next juz in the Surah Az-Zumar continues. It talks about who is more unjust than he who lies about God and rejects the truth when it comes to him. Is not hell an abode for those who deny the truth? This is an interesting rhetorical question, right? The person who kathaba ala Allah, lies about God, okay? assuming they know about the reality of God. Yeah, there is no God. Oh, God doesn't have a plan. He just is there. He started this whole thing. Let's call him God. Let's call him Mother Nature. But he has no role to play in the world. كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. This is a person who's lying about God. أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِالصِّدِقِ. Rejects the truth. Right? The foundational message of Islam is the truth. Actually, the whole message of Islam is the truth. But the foundational message comes to them, worshipping Allah alone and only Him and nobody else. Not a human being, not an idol, having a purpose, working towards salvation by following the prophets. Okay? All the prophets have the same message. This message, if you reject it, كَذَّبَ بِالصِّدْقِ إِذْ جَاءَهُ. When they have received it. Right? This is important. They have received the message and they have rejected the message. That's the person, you know, who, like, how is this person now going to claim immunity from the fire of hell? أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Okay, and the contrary example is he who brings the truth and testifies to it, like they're living it, جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ, they're living it and testifying to it with their tongue. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. They are the God-fearing people. They will have whatever they want from their Lord. That is the reward of those who do good. لِيُكَفِّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. Okay? These people are not perfect. They're going to make mistakes, right? Just because they're believers doesn't mean they're perfect. They're going to make mistakes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove their worst deeds from their record. He will clean the record. And then He will give them the reward, أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, in accordance with the best of their actions. Allahu Akbar. He will remove the sins. Okay? And then He will take the best deeds and project them onto all of the deeds and give them the reward of all the deeds as if they're like the best one. How amazing, how merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It speaks about the concept of revelation. Inna anzalna alayka al-kitaba lin-nasi bil-haq. Ayah number 41. We have sent down to you the book for mankind with the truth. Okay, it's been sent to the Prophet sallam, but it's for all of humanity and it contains the truth. Faman ihtada falinafsihi. The person who does so and adopts it, they do so for their own benefit, for their own soul. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. Whoever goes astray injures his own soul or her own soul. وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْوَكِيلِ. You are not their custodian. You're not there to police them. You're not there to force people. You're there to convey the message and you're there to act upon the message. And then if a person chooses to follow or reject, that is their choice. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also here in a very interesting ayah, a very beautiful ayah, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha. Allah is the one who takes away the souls of people when they pass away, and also the souls of the people who are alive during their sleep. Okay, this is like a state of subconsciousness that a person enters when they go to sleep, and sleep is still like a mystery to us from like a scientific perspective. Okay. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلِ مُسَمَّى. Then He withholds those for whom He has ordained death and restores the souls of others for an appointed term. You know, those who are meant to pass away in their sleep, Allah does not return their soul back to them and they pass away peacefully in their sleep. But the ones who Allah has ordained that they will be alive another day, their soul is returned to them. And they are now back up and, alive again, worship, walking around again. This is a sign for those who reflect. The idea here is that your life is so fragile. It's so fragile. And it's in the hands of Allah. It's in the hands of Allah. It's so fragile. Yet we think we are indestructible. We're not. This is a reminder of our vulnerabilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Ayah 47. If the wrongdoers possessed all that is on the earth. You know, this is again goes back to accountability for being arrogant. On the day of judgment, the wrongdoers, if they possessed all that's on the earth and twice as much, they would offer it to redeem themselves from the awful suffering of the awful suffering of the day of resurrection. Meaning everything that's on the earth, they owned it. And twice over, they would offer all of it just to be ransomed from the fire of hell on that day. That's like an enormous, like that's an unimaginable amount of wealth and power and, you know, and everything. Yes. But in the world, we're asked not for that. We're just asked for something so basic. The shahada, say la ilaha illallah. Be a good person and, you know, focus on the pillars. Stay away from haram. And that's all. That's all, right? وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ But, you know, this is unfortunately the case for those who reject, and then for them it's too late. For God will show them that which they had never anticipated. What they will see is the evil of their deeds will become apparent to them. And the thing they used to mock would come to hound them, would overwhelm them. فَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌ Again, the idea of that attitude of ingratitude, that fickle nature of human beings. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us against that so we don't be this way. When affliction befalls a man, meaning affliction befalls a human, insan is human, by the way, he appeals to us. But when we bestow a favor upon him, he says, all this has been given to me because of my knowledge. Bal hiya fitna. By no means, it is a trial, yet most of them don't realize it. Again, this reality of sometimes the Quran gives the example of somebody who was in trouble and had made dua to Allah, and then when Allah gave him, he went and started worshipping idols and forgot about Allah. Here is another person, a very interesting one. This is a person who starts to credit himself for all the, you know, like I got myself out of trouble, right? All of this is because of me. But this narcissism is a test, and most people don't realize it. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting, that أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ Do they not know that God grants abundant sustenance to anyone who He wishes and gives sparingly to anyone He pleases? Surely there are signs in this for those who believe. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ The idea here is as follows. Because you were at a time things were tight, and then at a time things are loose and easy, doesn't mean that when they're tight, you know, Allah is punishing you. I mean, they're loose and easy, Allah is pleased with you. This is the part, this is the test of life. That's how it's supposed to be. This is how Allah tests us with good and evil. Okay. When this is in contrast to this guy, right? In ayah 49, he says, it's because of me that I have good. Well, no, you're when Allah withheld and when Allah gave, both of those are His tests for you. But perhaps people are oblivious to that. This ayah number 53 is a very beautiful ayah, a very powerful ayah. Oh, my servants who have committed excesses against their own souls, do not despair of God's mercy, for God surely forgives all sins. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a, as I had mentioned to you time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive every sin. Okay, if there's someone who has been hurt, you have to make up to them in whatever way you can. If something has to be returned to someone, you have to make up for that as well. Reparations have to be given. But after that, you have to ask Allah for forgiveness. And once you ask Allah for forgiveness, after all of that, you are forgiven. If it's a sin not between you and another person, it's just you yourself, that is a whole different thing. Just repenting and saying, Astaghfirullah, I am sorry, O Allah, forgive me, O Allah. And then trying to be better, trying to making the resolve to be better. That itself is immediate forgiveness. Immediate forgiveness. There's no like delaying it. It's gone right away. Right? Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. The problem is we think that we are too bad. We're too sinful. We're too, you know, we're just always making mistakes. That's the problem isn't the making mistakes. The problem is thinking that we're bad and we're losers or something. Never ever think that way. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a, for God for surely forgives all sins. He is surely the most forgiving and the most merciful. Okay. This is a very beautiful advice. Allah says, also turn to your Lord and submit to Him before it's too late, before, you know, أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ, before His scourge, His punishment takes over you, and then it'll be too late. follow the best aspect of what's been sent down to you from your Lord. The best aspect here is follow the commands of the Quran. That's the best thing for you, okay? Before it's too late, before the punishment comes and you're too late and you don't realize, excuse me. And if that happens, less someone would say, Ya hasrata, alas for me, for having neglected what is due to God and having been of one of those who scoffed. And lest a person says, if only God had guided me, I would have surely joined the God-fearing. Or lest the person says, when they see a punishment, if I had a second chance, I could be among the doers of good. All of these are excuses. You had plenty of chances in life. Your life was not only one moment or one day. You had plenty of chances to make do. You had plenty of opportunities for guidance. You had plenty of time to make things right. It's not like your life was just like over in the blink of an eye. بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِي. No, the reality is that my revelations came to you, but you rejected them. You would postponed, or like whatever, I'll think about it later. Or you were like, ah, this is beyond me, this is below me. وَاسْتَكْبَرْتَ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Those who deny the truth also perhaps being extremely ungrateful, because you notice the theme of ingratitude is also running throughout the surah. People's ingratitude towards Allah's blessings after a troubled time. So your ingratitude made you forget about your Lord. And then on that day, it will be too late. You will see that their faces are blackened. Muswadda, right? This is not like blackened as in like the color of the skin, but this is like dark because of the grief that they're suffering. Dark because of the pain that they're suffering. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Isn't hell in sufficient for those who are arrogant? That Allah will save those, will deliver those who feared Him into the place of salvation, and no evil shall touch them, nor shall they grieve. Okay, then you move on to a very amazing passage here from the end of this surah. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. The trumpet shall be blown. فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Okay, please pay attention to this one. This is a very important ayah. The trumpet shall be blown, and whoever is in the heaven and whoever is on the earth will fall down in a swoon. Everybody who's alive on that day, walking the earth, when the trumpet is blown for the day of judgment to begin, everybody who's on the earth will die. Everybody in the sky, the angels, will die. Okay? Thum, except the angel, Israfil, who's blowing the trumpet, of course. Thumma nufiqa fihi ukhra. Then the trumpet will be blown again. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And then they shall rise and gaze around them. That's when the day of judgment will begin. And that second blowing of the horn, of the trumpet, is going to be the thing that brings back everybody to life. And that is when the day of judgment, its horrors are going to be witnessed initially. And then order will be established. Order will be established, and nobody will be able to speak unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the permission to do so. And then the accountability of every individual will start. And Allah will start with the prophets first, and then proceed to the people. وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا. The earth will shine with the light of its Lord. And the book will be laid open. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ. This book is not the Qur'an. This book is the book of deeds, the record of deeds. وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ. The prophets and the witnesses will be brought in, because they will be questioned. Did you convey the message, O prophets? Did people receive the message? Yes. Okay. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. And judgment will be passed on them with fairness. And none shall be wrong. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. None shall be wrong. Okay. وَوُفِّيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ. Every soul shall be repaid in full for what it has done. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ. And God is fully aware of what they do. Now check out the scene from the scene from the day of judgment. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. That's where the surah gets its name. Zumar groups. Okay. It says throngs. I don't know what throngs means, to be honest with you. Let me find what Sahih International says. Yes, groups is what I knew it to mean. Those who disbelieved will be driven to hell in groups. Hatta idha ja'uha futihat abwabuha. When they reach it, its gates are opened. And its keepers will say, did there not come to you messengers from yourselves? Alam ya'tikum rusulun minkum. These messengers that came to you from yourselves, you knew who they were. Yatlu alaykum ayati rabbikum, reciting to you the verses of your Lord. Wa yunzirunakum liqa'a yawmikum hadha, and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours. Did you not get the message? Did you not know about this? Did you? Qalu bala. They would say, yes, we knew about it. Yes, messengers came. Yes, we heard the message. Yes, we knew about the meeting of this day. Yes, we knew it. وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. But the word of punishment has come into effect upon the disbelievers. This ayah, this expression of the Quran means that, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says yes, and then whatever excuses they're making are not dignified. The حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ, the punishment is justified upon them. And that is what is going to be the case. This shows you, by the way, that nobody goes to the fire of hell thinking that I am wronged, or I don't belong here, or how come I'm here? I didn't even know about it. No one is going to be saying that. Every person who goes into it will be asked by the angel, right? It's like a verification, and it's like a torture as well. Did you know about this? All right, in. That is, something for us to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just. How can he be unjust to people and toss them into the fire of hell without them knowing about it? Without them having the ability to choose? How can he do that? Okay? So this ayah is a clear refutation of that. It will be said to them, enter the gates of hell to abide eternally therein, and wretched is the residence of the arrogant. Okay? Then you see the example of the believers. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. It's like the examples are like in parallel. And there's like subtle differences in the Arabic language, which are a little too involved for me to mention right now. But, the examples are set up in like as a compare and contrast. It's very, very eloquent, very involved. Those who fear their Lord will be driven in paradise in groups. Okay? You see, this is those who disbelieved, right? Here, and then they were mentioned here in groups, yes? But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers with a little bit more information. They feared their Lord. They had that fear of Allah's punishment. That's the prerequisite that they had. And then they will be driven to paradise in groups. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. This is it's irresistible. I have to point this out to you. Okay. Hatta idha ja'uha wa futihat abwabuha. See the wow here? There is no wow in ayah number 71. Hatta idha ja'uha futihat abwabuha. The wow is missing here, right? Not missing. The wow is not there. Okay. This little wow, you see, it's here, and it's not here. The not here is for the disbelievers. It's here for the believers. What it is highlighting is that when they reach it, while its gates have been opened, right? Here is the image. As the people of paradise are approaching paradise, the gates of paradise are already open. They can see it, they can smell it, they can hear it as they're approaching it. And it's increasing their happiness before they even reach. You know, I remember I used to go to the beach when I was a kid. And the moment I remember the most is the smell of the beach as we were approaching the beach. And that the heightened expectations we had as kids to, now it's time to go in the water. That, is a lasting memory. So that is like the idea. You can see it. You can smell it. You can hear it. You're so happy, right? This is what you've worked for your whole life. The one without the wow is the person, like the gates are like obscured, and then when they reach it, it like suddenly opens up, and it's the shock to the system. And the obscurity of the gates, there's still the sound. There's still the raging fire. So the punishment, like the fear is gripping them. And then the suddenness of the opening of the gates also adds to the torment and the fright. So you see how Allah is easing for the believers everything. There's no fear any step of the way. Whereas for those who rejected him, there is fear and fright throughout the process. And these people, when they enter paradise, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا, the angels, the keepers of the health of the of heaven will say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. They will be saying good things like, peace be upon you. You have become pure. You have become pure. Enter it to abide eternally therein. And when they enter it, they will say, Alhamdulillah, praises to Allah. All praises for Allah, who has fulfilled for us his promise, made us inherit the earth so we may settle in paradise wherever we will. نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ. He allowed us to excel on the earth so we could be here in paradise. And how excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. And you will see the angels around the throne of Allah, exalting Allah. And everybody is praising him. And that's when the day will end. And it will be said at the end, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. That is Surah Ghafir, a very beautiful, very powerful scene. We ask Allah to make us of those who enter paradise and are saved from the fire of hell. Surah Ghafir begins with Hameem. This is the first of the Hameems. Okay? And you will notice that the Hameems are like this. Surah 41, it begins with Hameem. Then Surah 42, will begin with Hameem. Surah 43, will begin with Hameem. Surah 44, will begin with Hameem. Surah 45, will begin with Hameem. And lastly, Surah 46 will begin with Hameem. That's the surahs we have in order from 40 to 46, all of them beginning with Hameem, 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 Hameem. Okay, they are called the Hameems or Hawameem in Arabic or Alu Hameem. Okay, and these surahs, as I just quickly displayed them to you, they all interestingly notice this. They mention, they're all surahs that were revealed in Mecca. They were all revealed in Mecca to the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, they all begin with Hameem. They all speak about the greatness of the Quran. Look at this. This is the last of them. Tanzeelu kitabi min Allahi al-Azizil Hakim. Let me go to the one before. Okay. 46. Tanzeelu kitabi min Allahi al-Azizil Hakim. Let's go to 45. Tanzeelu kitabi min Allahi al-Azizil Hakim. The revelation of the book is from the exalted. It's from Allah, the exalted in might, the wise. 44. Hameem. Wal kitab al mubeen. The clear book. We revealed it in a blessed night. Indeed, we were to warn mankind. Yes. 43. Look at this. Hameem. Wal kitab al mubeen. Hameem. Allah takes an oath by the clear book. Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyya. La'allakum ta'aqilun. We have made it an Arabic Quran that you may understand, and it is indeed, it is in the mother of the book with us, exalted and full of wisdom. The mother of the book, Ummul Kitab, is the record of everything. The original copy of the Quran is there, and the one that we have is what Allah has sent to the Prophet, through Jibreel. Okay, 42. Okay, Hameem, Ayn Sin Qaf, Kadhalika Yuhi Ilayka. Thus he has revealed to you, O Prophet, and those before you. Okay, again speaks about the revelation right after. 41. Look at that. Hameem, Tanzeelu min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a revelation from the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. This is a book whose verses have been detailed, an Arabic Quran for people who know. Or for people to know. لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. It is a giver of good news and a way of warning. And then finally, coming back all the way to our first Hameem, Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahi al-Aziz al-Alim, the revelation of the book is from Allah, the exalted in might, the all-knowing and all-powerful. Okay? This is one thing you will notice about them. They all speak about the greatness of the Quran. They all mention Musa alayhi salam in them. Okay? Musa alayhi salam is mentioned in all of them, in one place or the other. I'll show that to you as we traverse that. Okay, because his story is quite long, actually. I can't just this was just one ayah. I could show it to you easily. His story is many ayat. Okay, Musa alayhi salam is mentioned in all of them. What is mentioned is the torch is being passed on from Musa alayhi salam to the Prophet salam and his ummah. It's like the passing of the baton. You know, the baton of prophethood is being given over. Okay, even though there's messengers before, but the messenger Musa alayhi salam represents, you know, like the law of the Torah was widely accepted as the law, even by, you know, later, you know, like throughout the time by Jews, even today, and the law of the Gospels, the Christians kind of put it to the side, right? So the law, you know, the baton has been passed from that to the Ummah of Muhammad to the law of the Quran, okay? It speaks about the importance of being united as a community, the importance of being united, not divided. It also talks about the importance of being gentle and ignoring people's insults. And this is the theme of the surah. The theme of all of them seven together, it's talking about da'wah to Allah, inviting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but inviting them in a situation where you don't have the upper hand. You are like a minority. You are downtrodden. You are perhaps persecuted. Yet you have the responsibility to invite people to the way of Allah. And that requires being gentle, ignoring people's insults. That it requires being united as a community. That requires understanding that Allah has chosen us and chosen us to be Muslims and believers in Him, but also specifically chosen us to be a part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means the baton from the Ummah of Musa has been passed on to us. There is an added responsibility that we bear. So all of these are the themes that run through these surahs. I'm going to try to point them out to you as best as I can. Let's get into Surah Ghafir first. Surah Ghafir starts by talking about this Quran is the revelation of the Quran is mighty, it's great. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself. He describes himself as the forgiver of sin, the acceptor of repentance. Ghafir al-dhanbi wa qabil al-tawb. That's where the name comes from, Ghafir. Huh? Qabil al-tawb, the acceptor of repentance. Shadid al-iqab, the severe in punishment. The tawl, owner of abundance. La ilaha illahu. There is no deity except him. To him is the destination. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes here in this surah that it is hard to call people to Islam. The da'wah, right? To call people to the message of the truth is hard. Okay. Because people, فَلَا يَغْرُرْكَ تَقَلُّبُهُمْ فِي الْبِلَادِ. People, have this uninhibited movement throughout the land. They are enjoying themselves. They ignore what you have to tell them about a purpose of life, and they just keep doing what they're doing. So don't let that get to you, because people before had denied. The people of Nuh had denied. The people who came after Nuh did the same thing. And what did they say? Muhammad kullu ummatin bi rasulihim liya'khudhuhu. They wanted, every nation intended to plot against their messenger to seize him, right? They wanted to undermine him and, you know, look, make him look like a fool. And they disputed by using falsehood. وَجَادَلُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِلُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ. To try to invalidate the truth, to try to make the truth look weak and foolish. فَأَخَذْتُهُمْ. Therefore I seized them, and how terrible was my punishment. This is something that happens to this day. People use fallacious arguments to try to defeat the truth. And unlike other prophets, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of those, these people are not dealt with in the same way. So this is the difference. We have to be extra patient and extra strong in our arguments when we present them. This surah mentions a very beautiful passage about the angels, ayah number 7. Okay, the angels making dua for the believers, saying they ask, they glorify their Lord with his praise. They believe in him. They ask for forgiveness for those who believe. Subhanallah. They say, our Lord, you embrace all things in mercy and knowledge. Forgive those who turn to you and follow your path. and save them from the fire of hell. Enter them into paradise, O Lord, that you have promised. Enter them with the righteous of their ancestors, their spouses and offspring. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful, right? When you are inviting people to Allah, when you're doing acts of good, when you're teaching good or learning good, angels are making dua for you throughout the process. And these are the beautiful du'as they make. Oh Allah, protect them from evil deeds. Angels are like role models for believers. This is how we should be. We should make du'a for our salvation, for goodness. But we should also make du'a for our brothers and sisters. Specifically someone who has, done well by us. Someone we love for the sake of Allah. These are beautiful things. These are angelic things to do. And when you make du'a for your brother, an angel says, Ameen wa laka bi mithlihi. May Allah give you the same. Ameen to your dua, and may Allah give you the same as well. So an angel makes dua for you, and you make dua for your brother or sister in Islam. How beautiful. And the feeling of the fraternity of believers, the feeling of love and gentleness towards other believers, you will experience that when you make dua. Okay? Very, very beautiful passage here. Okay? Surah speaks about the da'wah of Musa alayhi salam. Okay. Ayah number 24. I'm having some problems with my notes here. No problem, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Musa alayhi salam is mentioned here. We sent Moses with our signs and clear authority. إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَقَارُونَ. To Pharaoh, Haman, and Korah. They said he's a magician and a liar. But then when he brought the truth, they said to slay the sons of those who believe in him and spare their daughters. But this was a very, very terrible thing to do. Fir'aun, right, is... going on full on tyrant mode. He's even saying, let me kill Moses. But Moses says, I ask Allah to protect me from being hurt by you, by every arrogant person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Musa alayhi salam. Even the Fir'aun couldn't do anything to Musa. But now an unexpected source of help arises from the family of Musa. From the family of the Pharaoh. And this is the thing about da'wah. When you are calling people to Islam, inviting them to the truth, and you are, just like Musa, is underprivileged. He has the lower hand, not the upper hand. He has no leverage. Fir'aun has the leverage. But even in that, the truth will shine. The truth will shine, even if, the people of truth are a small minority and they're weak and humbled. But the truth's power shines. And here you see... someone from Fir'aun's family accepted Islam, accepted Musa alayhi salam, and stood up to defend Musa. A believer, a man from among the people of the Pharaoh, who had concealed his faith out of fear, of course, right? Said, would you slay a man merely because he says my Lord is God and he has brought you clear signs from his Lord? Is that why you want to kill him? أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَإِنْ يَكُوا كَاذِبًا فَعَلَيْهِ كَذِبُ. If he is lying, the sin of his will be on his own head. Will be his fault. وَإِنْ يَكُوا صَادِقًا يُصِبْكُمْ بَعْضُ الَّذِي يَعِدُكُمْ. But if he is truthful, a part of which he warns you will surely befall you. Think logically. If he's lying, it's his problem. But if he's truthful, what he's saying is going to come and happen. And you will be the ones who suffer from that. Okay? He talks to his people. He says, my people, today we are powerful. Yours is the kingdom today. Huh? But who can help us if مِن بَأْسِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ يَنصُرُنَا مِن بَأْسِ اللَّهِ إِن جَاءَنَا. Who? Ayah number 29. Who is it that will help us if the punishment of God is upon us? Fir'aun says something interesting. He said, I point out to you only that which I consider right. And I guide you to the right path. He's like, look, I'm only saying this in your interest. And what I'm telling you is correct. Don't undermine me here. Okay? But the person who believed, he is not a coward. He's a brave man. And he's becoming bolder and bolder. He says, my people, I fear for you a fate like that of the people of old. Like that of the people of Noah and Ad and Thamud. Okay? I fear, O my people, that the day of judgment, يَوْمَ التَّنَاد, you will cry out to one another. From the word nida, you're going to call out to each other, and then it will be too late. يَوْمَ تُوَلُّونَ مُدْبِرِينَ. He says, O my people, Joseph came before you with clear signs, because Yusuf al-Islam was in Egypt, yes? And he was an honored person. But you never ceased to doubt the message he brought you. But then when he died, you said, God will never send another messenger. Right? Again, this is a lie. How can you say that? And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you a messenger, and now you are turned away. Fir'aun becomes even more tyrannical, and he's trying to mock this man. He's like, hey, Haman, build me a lofty building so I may look at the sky and talk to see if there's the Lord of Musa really in the sky or not. But I think he's lying, okay? But now the man who believes is becoming even bolder. He's like, oh, people, follow me. Now he's coming out, right? He says, follow me, I will guide you to the right path. My people, this life is temporary. It's not, permanent. So don't get distracted by that. The hereafter is the permanent abode. He says, "Man amila sayyi'atan fala yujza illa mithlaha." Whoever does evil will be requited with evil. But whoever does good, whether male or female, and is a believer, will enter the garden where they will be provided without measure. This is important. Whoever does good, whether male or female, your gender doesn't matter when it comes to goodness, when it comes to spirituality, there is true equality. The only thing that matters is how hard something is and how sincere and devoted you are. But your gender is irrelevant to the conversation. Okay, gender is only relevant when there is a physical implication because of the physiology of the gender. Okay, but when there isn't any, it's irrelevant, and it is all the same for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gender absolutely does not matter there. Okay. He is now asking people to believe in him. And then he says, you will remember what I said to you. I entrust my affair to God, for God is observant of all his servants. Right? This is what happened to him. He invited them. Most probably they did not believe in him. And Allah delivered him. They probably plotted against him. Allah delivered him from their plots. And the people of Fir'aun, they were encompassed by a dreadful punishment. So you see in this surah, a very interesting story we are told about the about this believing man from the people of Pharaoh, which is, even when you are weak and you invite people to the truth, the power of the truth shines, and people who are unexpected will accept it. And that was an example that's there, and that's something that we should be cognizant of. Okay. This is a very interesting passage. We've seen some similar passages. When they were in the fire, they will dispute with one another. The weak will say, فَيَقُولُ الضُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا, Ayah 47, إِنَّا كُنَّا لَكُمْ تَبَعًا, we were your followers, فَالْأَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا نَصِيبًا مِنَ النَّارِ, will you relieve us of some of the fire today? قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا كُلٌّ فِيهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَكَمَ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ, those who have been arrogant will say, we are all in this together. God has just judged between his servants. It's now, he's passed his judgment. We are in this together. We can't help you because we were powerful in this world. And that is, a grim scene from the ending of the people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet that, فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ, Ayah 55. Be patient. Remember the encouragement of being patient is quite frequently mentioned in this surah. Be patient, O Prophet, for what God has promised is sure to come true. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, ask forgiveness for your sins. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِبْكَارِ, Ayah 55. And praise your Lord morning and evening. That's, you focus on what you can control. Focus on improving yourself. Focus on your own spirituality, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is sure to come true. Don't worry about that. Just work on what's in front of you. Allah will take care of what's out of your control. Okay. The Prophet This is a, you know, advice to him when he was in the beginning stages of his da'wah, calling people to Islam. Okay. Ayah number 60, very beautiful ayah. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, call to me and I will answer your prayers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنِ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Those who are too arrogant to worship me shall certainly enter hell in disgrace. The idea here is call on to your Lord for strength. Allah will respond to you and give you strength, give you guidance. Don't think you are too important or think that Allah is not going to hear you or that Allah may let you down. These are all types of false ideas. Do not have those when it comes to supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's a type of, you are belittling who Allah is. Okay, and that is something that we cannot do. So ud'uuni astajib lakum. Allah then talks about his signs, da'wah through his signs. You know, du'a is a sign, because a lot of people make du'a and then they find comfort and peace and they find Islam, right? The du'a is an ayah. An ayah of Allah is the night and the day. Ayah number 61. Truly God is most truly bountiful to the people, but most people do not give thanks. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Such is God, your Lord, the creator of all things. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. There is no God but He. فَأَنَّا تُفَكُونَ. So how then are you being turned away from Him? Okay, He is the one who has brought everything into existence, brought you into existence. He's the one who runs things. How are you turning away from Him? اللَّهُ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا. Ayah number 64. It is God who has given you the earth as a resting place and the sky as a canopy. He has shaped you. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَّرَكُمْ. And formed you well. You are, you know, in this, the creation that we have is well shaped, is symmetrical, is beautiful. وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And provided you with good things. All types of good things He has provided you with. That is your Lord. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You know, reach into into the depths of your soul and find out, you know, connect to your Lord that way. Okay, the surah concludes with, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be patient. Okay, فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. O Prophet, be patient, for God's promise is the truth. Whether we show you part of what we have promised them or we cause you to die first, فَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. It is to us that they will be recalled. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells a story about the people of the past. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Ayah 78. We've sent before you messengers. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَصَصْنَا عَلَيْكَ. Some of them, we have told you their story, related to you their story. وَمِنْهُمْ لَمْ نَقْصُصْ عَلَيْكَ. And others whose story we have not told you. The Quran is not a comprehensive collection of the story of every prophet ever sent. No, there's only some, and others are not mentioned. But Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِرَسُولٍ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِآيَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Whether the story has been told or not, what remains true is every prophet, it's not possible for any messenger to bring a sign except by the permission of God. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. But when the command of God is issued, قُضِيَ بِالْحَقِّ وَخَسِرَ هُنَالِكَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. The matter was decided in truth and justice, and then those who stood on falsehood perished. What is this talking about? Allah gave the people a chance to believe in the prophets. The prophet brought whatever sign Allah permitted him to bring. And then when the people rejected him, قُضِيَ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah, you know, in justice and fairness, decreed the end of those people. And the ones who lost were the ones who were upon falsehood. Okay, and the ones who were upon truth were saved. So this is what Allah is saying. This is going to be the end. Not in this world. That's not how it's going to be now. But that's going to be the end for the believers on the day of judgment. So be watchful of that. Allah points to His signs. Livestock is a sign for you. There is beautiful things that there's benefits in it for you that you can get out of it. You know, they carry your items and you are on them as well. وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ. All of His signs He shows you, right? Signs that are small, not small as in like they're trivial, but they're around you and easily accessible, okay? Signs in history, signs from the future. from the word, from his words. وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ, he shows you signs. فَأَيَّ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ تُنْكِرُونَ, so which then of signs of God would you deny? If why don't they travel the earth and see the fate of those who were before them? They were أَكْثَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ قُوَّةً, they were numerous and mightier and left greater traces of their power on the earth. This is talking about the people of Mecca. The people before the people of Mecca had immense power. People of Mecca were not so powerful. And, you know, the nations destroyed, like the Fir'aun and many others, left behind enormous and incredible landmarks that still stand to this day, right? That doesn't mean that they were more technologically advanced than us today. But the idea is that in a period of time, this people of Mecca and around them, and even after them, they disbelieved in the message of Allah, while people who were stronger than them were destroyed. The idea is, if Allah could destroy them, you don't think He can destroy you? If He can hold them accountable, you don't think He can hold you accountable? Yet all they accomplished, all they accomplished was of no avail to them. When the messengers came to them with clear signs, they reveled in whatever knowledge they had and were engulfed by the very thing, by the very punishment they mocked. They're like, what is this messenger talking about? We know what we know, right? We know how to do things right. Okay, this guy is just, he's a madman. But then, when they saw the punishment, what was it? They became the tough guy. Act disappeared. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, oh, believed in God, in the one God. وَكَفَرْنَا بِمَا كُنَّا بِهِ مُشْرِكِينَ, all these partners and associates, we all, we reject them all now. But at that time, it's too late. It's too late then. فَلَمْ يَكُوا يَنْفَعُهُمْ إِيمَانُهُمْ لَمَّا رَأُوا بَأْسَنَا, but believing after seeing our punishment did not benefit them at all. It's too late after you've seen the punishment. It's too late after seeing the angel of death. It's too late to believe on the day of judgment. It's not too late right now. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي قَدْ خَلَتْ فِي عِبَادِهِ, this is the law of God to deal with His creatures, and thus the disbelievers were losers. وَخَسِرَ هُنَالِكَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. Surah Fussilat, we have a few minutes, inshallah. Like I said, we will end at 7:45 every time now, inshallah. Surah Fussilat, let's look at that. حَامِيمْ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, revelation from God, the most gracious, the most merciful. This is a book that Allah has sent in Arabic, and it is a book for people who possess knowledge. This is the book that teaches us, inspires us to learn. It's a lifelong journey of learning. It's a reminder of good news and warning. Yet most of them turn away and they do not listen. Quran and Arabian, calling it an Arabic Quran here, is to highlight that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of expressing. This is the choice of language that Allah chose. Okay. And this theme will come back towards the end of the surah, right? This is the language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the final revelation. Okay, He could have chosen any language. He could have chosen any prophet, right? But He chooses the prophets, and He chooses the language of the prophet that He speaks. Right? Look at ayah number 44. وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا أَعْجَمِيًّا, had we sent this Quran in a language other than Arabic, they would have said, لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ, why are its verses not clearly explained? أَعَجَمِيُّ وَعَرَبِي, an Arab prophet and a scripture in foreign tongue. Right? If this is the what Allah is trying to explain. Allah is the one who chooses. He chose Musa as the prophet, and Musa spoke Hebrew. He chose Ibrahim, and Ibrahim spoke the language of the people of Babylon. Okay, he chose the Prophet, and the Prophet spoke Arabic. Okay, and every messenger He chose, the message was given to that messenger in the language that he spoke. Okay, and that is the idea that he's pointing out here. If the message was in a different language, people will say, well, this doesn't make any sense. But what Allah responds is, He says, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. It doesn't matter what language the believer speaks. It is a guide and a healing to those who believe. And it doesn't matter what language you speak. For those who do not believe, there is a deafness in their ears and a covering over their eyes. They are as it were being called from a very distant place. It's as if it doesn't make sense to them. It's far-fetched. It's like a voice they cannot decipher what it's saying. It doesn't matter what language you speak. The Quran is a guidance and mercy, a healing for those who believe, because that's the prerequisite. And it is the opposite for those who reject it. The Prophet's own uncle, Abu Talib, or Abu Lahab specifically. Abu Talib also did not accept, but Abu Lahab, who was very close to the Prophet, became his staunchest enemy. He understood the Quran better than any one of us could ever understand the Quran. But the understanding did not help him because he was an enemy of God. Okay, so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to point out in this surah. This is an important point to address. And I think it's a relevant point for us particularly, because this is something that we might struggle with. We have to learn Arabic. We have to understand the Quran in Arabic. This, that, and the other. Well, the Prophet was chosen by Allah, and the Prophet spoke Arabic. He was, from the Arabian Peninsula, from Mecca, from Quraysh, and thus the Quran is in that language. The difference is the Quran is for all mankind for all times, and that is the difference between it and, say, the Torah that was for a specific group of people at a specific time of the world. But that said, the message is universal, and the message, we can understand it through its translation and appreciate it and ponder over it, even with a translation. Of course, that's not something that the Quran says. In fact, as you notice, the Quran says it's a healing and guide for those who believe, irrespective of what language they speak. Ayah number 14 here speaks about if ja'atum. So ayah number 13. Let's go back to that. If they turn away, then say, "I warn you of a lightning bolt like the one that struck Aad and Thamud when the messengers came to them from before them and behind them." إِذْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Worship none but God. They said, "If our Lord had willed, he would have sent down angels. Therefore, we shall never believe in you." Okay, very interesting. Da'wah to Aad and Thamud. This is historic da'wah. Okay, or we can even call it prehistoric da'wah. Aad, they were arrogant. They said, "Who has more power than us? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Did they not see that God who has created them was mightier than them in power?" They're humans after all. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them of his power by letting loose upon them a raging wind over several inauspicious days to make them taste the torment of the humiliation in this life. وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَخْزَى. But the torment in the hereafter is even worse, even more humiliating. As for Thamud, we offered them our guidance. فَحَدَيْنَاهُمْ. Offered them our guidance, guided them. But what was their problem? فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. They preferred blindness to guidance. They preferred the life of this world. They preferred to enjoy what they had. And of course then, because they rejected the Prophet, they were seized by the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? There is a very important scene from the Day of Judgment, ayah number 22. Okay, ayah number 20, excuse me. On the Day of Judgment, when these people will come, hatta idha ma ja'uha shahida alayhim sam'uhum wa absaruhum wa juluduhum bima kanu ya'malun. Their hearing, their ears, their eyes, and skins will testify against them. They will say to their bodies, "Why are you testifying against us?" But their bodies will say, "God has given a speech, who has given speech to everyone and everything, and he is the one who has created us, and to him now you are going to be brought back to be judged." Okay? There's a beautiful scene from the believers who are dying. That's the scene for the Day of Judgment for the disbelievers. A scene for the believers, ayah number 30. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثم استقاموا تتنزلوا عليهم الملائكة. Look at this. We ask Allah to make us of these people. As for those who affirm that our Lord is God and then remain steadfast, the angels will descend upon them saying, "Have no fear and do not grieve. Rejoice in the good news of the garden that you have been promised. We are your companions in this life and in the year after. Therein you shall have all that your souls desire. And therein you shall have all that you ask for, a rich provision from the one who is the most forgiving and the most merciful." Subhanallah, the angels will tell them, "You will be fine. We'll take care of you. We'll take care of your family, inshallah. And be happy. You are going to paradise. What an incredible moment that is. And a person is dying, and it's like the most fearful moment that they could, you know, think of and they could experience. In that most fearful moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends angels to soothe and console them and relax them. We ask Allah to make us with these people. Jazakallah khairan. Sister Nazia, I actually forgot to make the survey. Forgive me. I will make it tonight, inshallah. And I will share with you all tomorrow the survey about the classes after Ramadan. And I will share it also on the WhatsApp groups and whatnot. So Jazakallah khairan for reminding me of that. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfir.